brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hello there. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a suds segment for those of you not sure what you tuned into, where we discuss the good things in life, 12 to 16 ounces at a time. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be here. This is one of my favorite days of the year is when we talk about these things.
These things, which we'll get to these things in just a minute. Good old boy Sparky. Hello.
Hey, thank you guys for recognizing Festivus for the first time. I really appreciate that.
Thanks for bringing up Festivus for the rest of us.
It's true. I've made a donation to you and the Human Foundation. Money for people. Hey.
I do have a bare aluminum pole that I put in my yard on December 23rd.
Feats of strength. Let's go.
Let's go.
Do it.
Aw, that's so sweet. Look at the love here. Good old boy Sean. Hi.
Bah humbug.
That's right.
And that's the realism just showed.
That's right.
Good to be back as always.
Good old boy Dave.
I am all that is man.
You're cute.
I know. That's true. That's damn true.
Well, I'm good old gal Juliana, and as we come to the end of our 10th season.
Wow. 10th.
Wow.
10th.
A decade.
Decade of decadence.
Wow. Can you believe it's really been 10?
It's X in Roman numerals, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big letter.
Yeah.
Just saying. We want to look back and discuss some of our favorite beers, beer styles, breweries, events, shared moments, things.
But before we get to the best things of the year, we need to stop and acknowledge the worst thing. On October 4th, we lost good old boy Caperton. Dave was taken from the world too soon. He was a big dude with an even bigger heart. He had many loves. His family, his friends, books, music, the outdoors, and of course, home brewing and craft beer. Saison was his favorite style, and from now on, I don't think any of us will ever try a new Saison without wondering, what would Caperton think of this? So everyone, please raise a glass of whatever you're drinking right now and drink a toast to good old boy Caperton, whose voice at this table will always be missed.
Here, here.
Cheers.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to you, dude.
Do yourself a favor. Find some music you love and turn it up loud.
Yes.
Yeah. He would want that.
Oh, he totally would.
Then yes. Go kill some kudzu.
Whack it.
Yeah.
Whack it to death. Abate yes. It. Yes, abate it.
Masterly.
Okay. So we're going to go around the table now. And each host is going to talk about a favorite from this year, a beer, a style, event, whatever. And we're going to have some beers on hand to drink while we are talking about those great things. But first, good old boy Sean, why don't you give us the suds ratings for today?
All righty. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with suds ratings. These suds ratings. Plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number two, was that a belch? Number three, what a relief.
I can feel that relief, by the way.
Oh, there's more coming from this way. Alrighty, number four, a body should really not make that sound.
Ooh, she's stuck.
Oh boy.
Let it out.
Come on.
There we go. She was broke.
Wow. All of that buildup. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
That one came through for us.
Of course it did. Well, thank you. All right. Well, let's get into it. Good old boy Kendall, since you are here, please.
Yeah,
start
I'd be
us
happy
off.
To. Do you want to talk about this beer you served us first, though? Or oh, you want to wait?
Well, no. I mean, okay, yeah. I'll talk about it for a second.
It's
it
really
just
nice.
Was, so, this, we did a brewery takeover of Lone Oak Farm from Maryland and from Olney, Maryland, as a matter of fact. Really beautiful place. And what we're drinking is the Lone Oak Lager. It's a light American lager, 4.2% ABV, just really nice and easy. And I thought that would be a nice way to just start the day.
It is.
It was a nice, tasty start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
So job, if we were going to rate this, we'd say maybe a four. Huh? We're going to rate it a four. Yes.
Oh, that's a good start.
Yep. All right. Now, good old boy Kendall.
All right. Well, I've passed everybody a beer I poured. You know, it's not my favorite beer of the year, but it's one of my favorite new breweries of the year. This is Soul and Spirits. I think they might have opened in 2021, but they're pretty new brewery in Memphis. Mm. If you ever pass through Memphis, stop. They're just a few mile or so north of downtown. And a great brewer, making a lot of different styles. His lagers are just spot on. I really enjoyed them. The pails and the IPAs and everything I tried was really good as well. So, yeah, if you're just passing through Memphis, make sure you stop at Soul and Spirits. And there's a lot of other great breweries in Memphis. It's turned into quite the beer town. It didn't used to be.
Yeah, it has, hasn't
so,
it?
So, sorry, I was a little distracted by my beer. Nope. But yeah, but what I wanted to talk about today is my favorite thing of the year in beer was I finally got to cross two things in my bucket list on the same day.
Wow.
I was in Denver during GABF week.
Nice.
I did not attend GABF, which might be the best way to go to Denver during GABF.
That is right. That is exactly right.
I mean, everybody should go to GABF once, but I've done it several times and it's like, okay, that was fun. I don't need to do that again. It's a massive beer festival, but the best part is everything in Denver is really cool. There's
all the beer bars,
a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
So I was in Denver a couple days before GABF even started, and one afternoon I found my way to two breweries that are serving beer in very traditional ways, and that would be Bierstadt's Slow Pour Pils and Hogshead's Cask ESB. Holy cow. I can't tell you how much those beers just how affected me and just how wonderful that was. Both of those breweries are doing very classic styles, one English, one German. Slow Pour Pils take 6 or 7 minutes to get, and it makes that beer delicious. It knocks down the carbonation. You really get to experience a lot more of the beer. And you could kind of say the same thing about Cask Ale. You don't have all that carbonation. And
yeah,
I never thought I really enjoyed cask beer because I've never had good cask beer. And I've always heard people say that the best cask beer outside of England itself is probably going to be Hogshead in Denver.
I would say that's a very good bet.
Yeah.
And it was the most amazing bitter I've ever had. I just savored that beer for about 45 minutes, slowly working on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that same day, had beer poured traditionally, English and German styles in Denver. And if you ever get to Denver, they're only maybe a 10-minute ride from each other. You can hit both in the same afternoon. And a lot of great beer in Denver. But that experience of traditional pill service and traditional cask bitter service was phenomenal.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And Bierstadt, their glasses are gorgeous, deco, beautiful, beautiful. And then Hogshead, you know, from the outside, it's so unassuming.
Oh, right.
You know?
And it's funny. I've been to Denver a lot, at least a dozen times in the last 10 years. And somehow I've never made it by either of these breweries. And so I made it a point to do it this time. And,
yeah, we went to Hogshead a few years ago. And we actually covered a couple of their beers in a show this season. And,
yeah.
As far as English style ales, I mean,
they are spot on.
So good. I ended up having a porter and another beer I can't remember, but they were phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can't go wrong by them at all. Yeah. There's never been a bad beer.
Absolutely perfect pint.
Oh, that's really cool. Okay. So tell us about
beer we're drinking. So this is one of the beers I picked up at Soul and Spirits in Memphis on Thanksgiving weekend. It's called Bring It Home. It's a premium lager, also known as a German-style Helles. So pretty much straight-up Helles, which you know I love. They're doing all the styles. In fact, a few of the trendy ones. You know, got to pay the light bills.
Yeah,
got
sure.
But he must have had on, 18 different beers on tap. So whether you're a traditionalist or you're a trend chaser, he has something for you.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Julie tried a couple of their beers at the Winter Warmer, and... That smoked beer that they had was outstanding.
It's a great
It really was. And they brought so much diversity to that fest. You know what I mean? I was so jazzed. Jazzed.
They're doing good stuff. Really cool to see what's happening there and in all of Memphis.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
What do you guys think about this beer from
Memphis gonna Memphis, but no, this is really tasty.
This beer's
really
worth a good stabbing.
I mean, the argument about the Memphis beer scene is that their water source is not the Mississippi, which is most of the water sources in Tennessee, but it's the
artesian aquifer,
the Memphis sands.
Oh my god!
So I've always been impressed with what's coming out of the Memphis scene, and this is another worthy contender.
Mm-hmm. Just a good clean beer, man.
Very clean.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's 4.9%. Heck, could kick back a lot of these.
A lot of that, man.
Yeah.
So barbecue. Mostly going to find them in Memphis, and they are distributing at a few select locations in Nashville.
Cool.
Nice.
Well, that's another good reason to go to Memphis.
Yeah, right? Well, we'll be back in just a minute with more.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is the best of. I still can't believe that we're in the end of the year. Anyways, we have been talking about good old boy Kendall's experiences this year, and the beer that he brought to share today was Bring It Home. It's a lager from Soul and Spirits in Memphis, Tennessee, and we are going to quickly rate this a 4.
Oh, it worked that time. Good, for sure.
All right. Next up, good old boy Sparky, what do you got for us?
Well, so this has been a weird year for me because, I have really changed my beer buying habits or consumption over the last couple of years and definitely this year for sure. So I've been cleaning out my cellar and it's been kind of an exciting adventure. We had this huge remodel done to our downstairs, and so my wife finally realized how much beer I'd been sitting on that she had no idea.
What?
You had in this house?
Yeah. So anyway, I've been I've really been destroying my cellar. And then also Kendall talked me into getting a beer maker, which has just been so much fun this year. I've really enjoyed getting to brew beer and with that device, and really recommend it. It's a lot of fun to, on small scale, brew some beer with. But so this was something that I pulled out of the cellar. And again, man, some things have just aged horribly. There's been some really, really things that were instant drain pours, and then some that turned out really well. So what I've got in front of you, so this is a Jester King Spawn 4 from 2017, the February 13th blend, and so it's a blend of their 2014, 2015, and 2016 of spontaneously fermented, inspired by authentic Belgian lambic, and he uses his crazy symbol. I remember, if you guys remember, there was that whole controversy because he couldn't call it lambic, right? But he had his like American lambic kind of thing. But I popped one of these a few days ago and just really enjoyed it. I think it's really going in some interesting directions. Yeah, and I love, unfortunately, a lot of the beers. There's been some like great stouts that I've gone back and revisited, and a lot of, you know, sours and lambics and stuff like that. Like a lot of the Embrace the Funk stuff that I like have been sitting on that actually has been really great. Most of it has turned out fantastic.
Yeah.
But man, there's just been some drain pours. Well,
it's a crapshoot. Yeah. You know, it's always a crapshoot, dude. Yeah. You never know.
And not necessarily Yazoo, but just some of the other beers I sat on, I thought like maybe this turned out. No, it did not. It needed to go down. But this one turned out, I think, pretty well. What do you guys
think?
This
is This is a pleasure to drink.
This is an easy drinker. And you don't always say that about a lambic, American or otherwise, you know. Yeah. But it's smooth, and there's no bite, and it's just...
Yeah, I'm getting like not only wine notes, but some apple notes that are very pleasant.
Yeah, you really can enjoy the fruit in it, you know, because it's not over the top.
I always get a little bit of that kind of thing you get out of funky cheesiness. And you know that a lot of these have aged hops in them, and that brings a type of acid that can contribute to that. And I always pick that up in these old lambics, and it just, these beers go so well with good funky cheeses. Like, give me a chunk of blue cheese right now to kill this bottle with. Yeah. And I'd be happy.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Is there any fruit in this?
No, but I mean, I'm definitely picking up some stone fruit notes out of it. I mean, there's some serious, which I love. I mean, I'm a stone fruit whore, but
Who isn't? Total whore.
Nobody I want to associate with.
Such a whore.
No, I'm like, because I'm getting like almost peachiness on this.
And
I'm
like, it's just a spontaneously fermented, you know, from the Texas Hill Country.
Yeah.
You know, just like a lot of lambics, you know, you kind of pick those things up, which is why when they do end up using, you know, some, you know, secondary fermentation with stone fruits, it always like goes to the next level. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is just straight up plain old spontaneously fermented in
just
the
beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I bought this out. I thought it was one of the things that was not a disaster that I had to.
This is really nice. Yeah. No, thank you.
You make a great point though. I have quit buying a lot of beer to cellar away because during the pandemic I drank down my cellar and half of it was garbage. So I've just stopped buying beer to put away.
Now the good news is I found that a lot of it was great at like cleaning out stains and other things in my pipes and sinks.
Nice. I mean, it's vinegar right at that point.
It is. So it does a great job with that. Yeah, and then the next note that I'd say is like Kendall had been telling me for quite some time. Kendall's been brewing beer, you know, in all sorts of different formats for a number of years, and he had been telling me about the beer maker, and I was like, oh god, fine, whatever. I ended up buying it on my birthday this year. He sent me a code to get a discount on it, and I have just had so much fun.
They're fun.
Yeah, just brewing with it I'm such a dork because I hate hand washing things, and the fact that most of it's dishwasher safe or disposable.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
It is so easy.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that is the big problem of brewing your own beer is the cleanup.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that so much. So,
I love mine. I've been using mine for almost 2 years. I got it in December of 2020. So I've got a batch in here I need to keg up right now. But if you don't know, it does about a gallon and a half at a time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you start with real just grain. And so it's real brewing. But it's super cool.
Yeah, we've done two batches in ours.
Oh, you guys have one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Well, once you got one, we're like, hell, we got to get one.
Oh, that's funny.
I know. Sparky gets it done.
What's that porter that won the awards? Like.
That's the one that we just did.
Yeah. I forget the name of it. Yeah, but somebody has won an NHC gold medal on beers
brewed
on
a
beer maker, which is insane to think about.
I can't remember the name of that stout or a porter recipe, but it's so good.
Anything was a selling point for it, that's kind of it right there.
You know?
I think we're going to do the Wee Heavy next. So
awesome, man. Yeah, a lot of it's done really well on the darker beers, even some of the lighter ones too. But I mean, the stouts and porters
it does dark beers really,
really
well.
Great for this time of year. So yeah, that's been my year, and I just really it's been crazy because I've really abstained from drinking beer during the week. Like that's kind of my like weekend reward. That's when I'll like go raid the cellar and find the mistakes and have my enamel melted off my teeth and, or maybe be pleasantly surprised like this Hill Farmstead. But
you mean
Jester King? I was thinking I've actually got like a huge like 1.5 liter Hill Farmstead that I'm afraid to open because I hope it's good.
Fingers crossed.
I don't know, but it's a lot of beer to
there's one way to find out.
Open that one in a crowd.
And actually, I've got a 3-liter supplication five or 6 years old. And like,
that'll be about perfect.
Yeah. But I need you guys to be present when we bought it.
You got to find an event for that.
That is a lot of beer. Yeah. It takes two of me to carry the bottle, actually.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of this Jester King beer, everyone's thoughts on it?
I mean,
it's the closest thing to lamb you're going to get in America.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 100%. So too. Yeah, I think so too.
And I think the part about, you know, we're all picking up fruit notes and there's no fruit. I think that really lends to how well it's made and how well they've utilized the mixed culture.
Well, and how lucky they got with the yeast that decided to land in the cool ship.
Exactly. Surprise. Yeah. This is what we
get.
Here
we go.
Yeah. All that good stuff that blew in on the Texas wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Big fan of all the spawns.
Well, and the cool part about Jester King too is that they have that farm right there that they're growing stuff on. So
you're getting all
you're getting local flora.
Did they ever fix the parking lot?
That I don't know. It's been a few years since I've been there.
And you know, I'm thrilled to have Jester King back around because remember, like in the day, it was the big sweetheart, and you had to go out of state to get it. Now that it's around, and thank you for having it at the Winter Warmer. It was nice.
It was nice.
I mean, Le Petit Prince.
I think the other one,
the Nocturnal.
Yeah,
Nocturnal Chrysalis.
That whatever, was gorgeous too.
Forget the fruit in that the was in gin that. Barrel. It was so good.
Yeah. But bringing them around again, you know, they're still here. They're still doing beautiful things in Texas, and you know, it's a testament to a really good brewery that is like standing the test of time, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to rate this particular spawn from 2017 from Jester King a big 5.
Nice. Kendall, do you have anything interesting to share with us?
I do. A story off the news wires.
You don't say.
That says the Baggate cheating scandal rocks the professional cornhole world.
Oh.
Oh.
I had my cornhole rocked once. It was it's not something
he's never been quite the same.
No, we don't talk about that.
Now watch out for your cornhole, Peter.
It's being called the greatest controversy in the history of the sport of cornhole.
Wow. I mean, that's big.
That's big.
Such a storied history as professional cornhole has.
So a cheating scandal dubbed Baggate has sent shockwaves across the professional cornhole world. Wow. It's hard to read this with a straight face.
I'm sorry.
The controversy sparked in August at 22 at the American Cornhole League World Championships in South Carolina. Devin Harbaugh filed a formal complaint against cornhole players Mark Richards and Philip Lopez, claiming the number one ranked doubles team used illegal beanbags. Oh, the humanity.
Oh, man. Is nothing sacred anymore? I
thought the bags were too thin, Harbaugh asserted. The
bags are too thin.
Well, I mean, they're using white corn instead of number two corn.
That's a classic. It's all about the corn.
Yeah, their bags were full of cream corn.
I think there was maize thrown in there. So,
a $15,000 purse was on the line. Wow. Where competitors
you're talking real money now, buddy.
Bags filled with slanted boards approximately 27 feet apart.
Bags of money.
And importantly to know is after the complaint was filed, officials performed a bag inspection.
Sir, present your bag, please.
We
We're going to inspect it thoroughly.
It turns out none of the competitors were using compliant regulation size bags.
What kind of...
Oh, come on.
What right? kind of What's wrong dog with and people? Pony show wow. are they running here? Wow. You can't even have a legitimate cornhole championship.
But after the bag inspection, the officials determined there was no intentional violation. Sure. And so the ACL spokesperson alluded to the fact that some cheating might have taken place. He said, it's possible, but I'm pretty confident it wasn't intentional.
These boys just didn't know any better.
He says, I don't know how they became illegal size. We did not boil the bags. I don't know what that means, but the incident is now known as Baggate and has sparked conversations about implementing more strict regulations to prevent the use of non-compliant bags. I think that's about all you need to know right there.
You know,
I mean, this story goes on for a while, but I think we've got the gist of it.
Well, they're gonna tighten things up around the bags at some point.
Those in sudden bag inspections, especially when they're thorough.
Yeah.
Thorough bags.
You know, you get a couple guys coming up to you all of a sudden wanting to inspect your bag. I mean, it get a little nervous.
It's true.
Yeah. Oof. Especially in South Carolina. Did everybody get one of these?
Yeah, I mean, there are already Gamecocks in South Carolina.
That's where you're starting.
Well, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They've definitely got to think about bags and
Okay.
The story did say the best of them can make up to $250,000 a year throwing cornhole.
Really? Man.
Yes.
That just shows you people have nothing to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's
drink beer and cornhole.
That's a commentary.
There's a lot of sponsorship money in it though from Big Bag.
Yeah.
Big Corn too.
Big Corn.
Big Corn.
Green Giant probably sponsors a lot of people.
Ho ho ho.
Oh my gosh. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you, Kendall. That was very
informative. Yes, very informative.
Kendall pulled that out of his bag of tricks.
That he did. Okay. Moving on. Good old boy, Sean.
I don't know if we're moving up.
What you got for us?
Oh, good experiences I've had the past year. Let's start with my first visit to Monk's Cafe in Philadelphia.
Woo-hoo!
Nice.
Never been there. Bucket list.
Oh, my goodness. So to walk in and see Blind Pig and Pliny the Elder on draft.
Mm-hmm. That's a good first impression.
Yeah. I was like, well, this is where we're starting. And then I looked down and spotted Hair of the Dog. So for those that don't know, and speaking of worst things to happen this year, Hair of the Dog in Portland, Oregon, Alan Sprintz decided to call it a retirement. So fair enough. But spying the Adam beer, which I've had before and love, I was like, well, what other Hair of the Dog do you have? And they came back with Fred, named after Fred Eckhard.
Nice.
Belgian Golden, as I recall. And first sip, oh my goodness, I just melted. My girlfriend took a sip at that point too, and she just went, oh wow. And so hats off to Alan for just not only remembering Fred was such a great beer, but just producing great beer to begin with. That was definitely one of my highlights, was getting to try that beer. And, you know, if you come across it, get it while the going's good.
Yeah.
Other than that, the usual suspects, Bell's has been keeping my fridge full and, you know, my daily drinking driver.
That's another guy called retirement though, right?
Yeah, another guy that called retirement and sold out the same conglomeration that now owns New Belgium as
everything.
Well. So, yeah. So, you know, happy retirement to Larry. And also because of that, we have Hop Slam on the market earlier this year than ever.
That's been weird.
It is weird scene, and it's been great to drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I just can't do that one.
No.
It's way too sweet for me.
Yeah, it's tamed down a little bit, but yeah, you're right. It's still definitely on that old school, you know, some of that caramel malt, even though they do brew it with honey, which is going to dry some of that out. But those were definitely some of the ones. And then the beer I have passed out to you all. Scratch Brewing, as always, one of my favorites. One of Caperton's favorites.
One of Caperton's favorites.
Yes.
Really? I have definitely had some great moments at that brewery with him. So when I was there at Thanksgiving, I brought back the barrel-aged blackberry and lavender. And the story on this is it is 5.5% ABV, and it is a bottle-conditioned sour ale brew without hops, bottled and flavored with Southern Illinois-grown blackberries and lavender, and fermented with our Wild House mixed culture, aged for 1 year in red wine puncheon.
Nice.
Wow, it is beautiful.
It is really great, and the lavender, just like, it's not overpowering. It's like so subtle.
So subtle, and that's one of the things in their book, because there's a local farmer that is interested in doing some stuff with lavender, and I'm interested in brewing with it, and the problem is it turns into soap really quick. Your beer can turn into soap.
Sure.
So yeah, you to your point, like it's blended in the blackberries, I think, just really help balance that out. So
it's
perfect. Yeah.
I remember Julie and I went to Scratch one time with Caperton, and while we were there, he pulled out one of his special cigarettes, and I don't remember the ride home.
Well, at least he didn't pull a bag out of his cornhole.
That's true
because it could have gone that way.
I once had a neighbor give me some homemade soap with lavender in it, and it was a lavender bomb. It's like, I know I've had those beers that could go really bad really fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a deadly weapon.
Yes, right.
A little bit goes a long way. Yeah.
And I'm always the person that, like, I just put a little bit more in there.
Yeah.
Three garlic cloves? How about the whole bag?
Yeah. I just love what Scratch does, and so many of their beers have no hops at all. Yeah. It just shows that even before people knew about hops hundreds of years ago, that there were other ways to bitter beer to counteract all the sweetness of the grain.
Yeah.
And this is a beautiful beer. It's not overly sweet at all.
It's not.
And it's got a nice tartness to it. That barrel age just comes through really nice as well.
Very dry.
Yep, very dry.
Just like the knowledge they have about all the different ingredients, you know. And really, if you think about, like, I mean, they're just walking out in the woods and grabbing stuff and all this. And just the knowledge of how much to use and how things interact with each other all the way through the fermentation process. Because things change, you know, and it's just really impressive.
As a brewer, for me, it's always exciting to go in there and see what they have on tap and what ingredients they're using. And then just to taste something like this and just go, okay, I've got some work to step up my game.
Back to the woodshed.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll be back with more in just a brief minute. Just the destination. But baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, everyone. We are celebrating the end of another great year. Our 10th year, as a matter of fact. And we've been going around and talking about the best things that we've enjoyed for the year. And good old boy Sean was talking about this really beautiful
blackberry lavender. Barrel-aged.
And barrel-aged in
a lot of bees.
Red wine puncheons. Really, really beautiful. And then talking about Scratch. For me, this reminds me of Frausch.
Frausch.
Yes, which is a beer from Scotland. Not so easy to find here, at least in this part of the United States. But what I love about Scratch and Frausch for that matter, is just that you don't need to have hops to have something that gives you that bittering quality and that gives it that really beery flavored beer, but on a different level. Yeah. And going to Scratch, I mean, you don't, like, it's so cool because you don't know what you're going to get and what you're going to be thrown at. I mean, there was this mushroom beer that I had when we were there last that tasted like peanut butter brickle, right? Well, it was crazy.
Well, it also tasted like the one that tasted like roasted chicken, the Hen of the Woods.
Yes, yes.
The Hen of the Woods Scotch Ale. And so it's a mushroom that tastes like
you could use
chicken.
That as a base to make a Nashville hot chicken beer.
Ooh, you could.
Wouldn't that be cool? No, but it was good.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Sparky is not having it. Sparky is like, if you could see this face on Sparky's face.
All right, fine.
Just because you can do something.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you
should. Fine. Okay. Back to the beer from Scratch. What do we all think of it? And let's rate it.
I think we would rate it a this.
We're going to do that? Yep. Okay. We're going to rate this beautiful beer a 5. Thank you, Sean, for bringing this.
Good job, Sean.
I've never been there. I need to go up.
Good old boy Mike's been up there a few times, and I went up there a few times with good old boy Caperton. So, Kendall, we need to make this
good
happen.
Day
Timmy's
trip.
A big fan of it,
and
too.
Tim's been up there a number of times as well. Yeah,
cool.
Timmy.
Good old boy Dave. What do you got for us?
So, I don't really have a favorite beer because I usually don't remember beers long after I drink them. But for me, this year's been more about styles. And I've been really excited about how breweries are embracing lagers more the last couple years. You know, we obviously talked about Suarez Family recently. We've talked about Dovetail. And it feels like a lot of the breweries that Lone Oak and everything, like a lot of these breweries are really getting back into taking the extra time it takes to make a lager, you know, and really embracing the cleanness. You know, we've had a lot of really good Czech lagers, the light Czech lagers, dark amber, all the different Czech lagers, pilsners. I mean, I've had more pilsners this year than I probably have in the last decade. Even the Winter Warmer Festival here in Nashville recently. I mean, every brewery brought like big beers, and then they would bring like a small lighter beer. And I drank probably in a festival where I usually drink more barrel-aged stouts, you know, I drank more pilsners at the Winter Warmer this year than I did anything else.
Drank a lot of the lager.
Yeah. And they were all really good.
You like it, the lager?
Love it. Yes, I'm a lumberjack, I'm okay.
That's the thing. When you started, you said breweries are welcoming loggers. I thought you said loggers. So.
Yeah.
We need more lumberjacks.
They've been discriminating against them for far too long.
Bearded men in plaid shirts, need to feel more comfortable going into craft breweries. Because that's been a thing.
Yeah.
And so I love that. I would say that there are a couple of places I've been with Juliana this year that really stood out. One of the best beer stores I've been into in a long time was Sabatini's in
Exeter,
Pennsylvania. So it's near Scranton. Great bottle shop, man. They had a cool bar. The people knew the products they had. The selection was incredible, like international beers plus tons of local stuff. They had J.W. Lee's Harvest Ales from 2001, 2002.
Oh, wow.
And I definitely picked some up because those are some of the best years you can get that beer. And so,
speaking of beers that age well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, that's not a dream pour.
And it was just like this unassuming little place, which started out as a pizza place. They bought another building across the parking lot, turned it into probably one of the best bottle shops you'll find in the Northeast.
So does the pizza suck? Or like the
pizza's pretty good.
Okay.
The pizza's good.
The pizza's good,
and
for Pennsylvania pizza.
And luckily for them... Excuse you?
I love you.
Whatever. Oh. Rude.
The fight is on.
The fight is on.
It's never off. That's the thing.
Because pizza's a big thing in northeastern Pennsylvania. Old Forge,
but they don't put meat on it.
No, we don't need meat. You don't need it.
Okay. So
if you don't
agree to disagree. Yeah.
not for this style pizza.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's different. No, it's unlike anything you've had down here in the South.
Well, that's what we say about things that we don't like sometimes. Well, I've never tasted anything like that before.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Well, that's something else.
Okay.
Well, so that's another story for another day.
Yes, it is. It is. But
yeah, Sabatini's was amazing. But what I poured or had poured for you guys is a little while ago, we did a show about Dovetail Brewing out of Chicago.
One of my favorites. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to talk about like traditional German style brewing, these guys both, the two owners met in Germany while they were getting their master brewing degree. And the Helles Lager, I think, is one of the best examples of the style.
Good.
Yeah.
And like when we tried that flight, like it was one of the most solid flights we'd had this year. So here's to Dovetail, here's to lagers. And I think this was a great year for it.
Yes. And I think we, any quick thoughts from the rest of the peeps about
Kendall
this
loves
beer?
Helles. So
yeah, you know. Yeah. Just give me a Helles and I'm
Helles,
happy.
Yes.
Even an average Helles makes me happy. An extraordinary Helles just puts me over the moon.
If this is Helles, I'm here for it.
Right. I know, right?
It's a Helles and back.
That little hint of sweetness on it, it gets me every time. It just makes me so happy.
Thank you for putting us on the highway to Helles.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Sounds like a show idea.
It's coming, folks. Season 11. No. This is beautiful. I mean, any day of the week, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And cool. Really well crafted. We are going to rate this, the Helles Lager from Dovetail, a 5.
I wanted to go quickly because Julian has 7 besties. So.
Okay. I don't have 7. I have 2.
Teen.
I just have 2.
Plus 4 bonuses.
2. While I'm going to be talking, the first beer that is looking orange juicy to you guys at the table is from Bissell Brothers, and it is called Reciprocal. It's a double dry hopped IPA, 7.3% IV.
That's weird,
Are they making beer flavored beer is the question.
Okay.
I thought they made vacuums.
Ouch.
Ooh.
Rude. Rude. Yeah. Okay. I had to take, since the pandemic, the lockdown really inhibited me, from being able to have time off of work to go and do things, but then also so many things were shut down, right? So this was the first year that I actually was able to spread my wings again and go to places that I've been wanting to go to and couldn't get to, and visiting a lot of new breweries in my home state and the surrounding Maryland, New Jersey, New York area that I've been wanting to for a while and just haven't been able to, you know, due to constrictions. So this was just great getting out there, being near the Jersey Shore, being in Baltimore, being just near the water and near friends and near some really good beer flavored beer. You know what I mean? So the Lone Oak that we had earlier was from my trip to Maryland, and a beautiful, beautiful place to go for a beer. Their backyard is just this big wide open space. They have tents that you can actually sit in. Like the tents are so big that you can have a table in there, and then they have an outdoor stage. So the
could
tents,
you have a carnival in the tents?
No, but it's intense.
Yes. Hey oh.
Wow. But you can live shows there are really great. I'm going to disregard that. And you can sit in the tent and have some beer and have some food while you're enjoying the live music, which is really great. And a lot of these other breweries that I've been to this year, their outdoor spaces were really nice. And to me, that's what it's all about, right?
It sounds like this was all very intentional.
You're cute.
The intent.
All right. So one of the things that I was able to have a decent amount this year was Abyssal Brothers. And this was one of the breweries that has been on my bucket list of like, I keep hearing the hype and I'm like, yo, well, maybe they're all right. Maybe it's just meh, but I've actually really enjoyed. So this is one of them. The other one that I have, because wait, I can't.
We should probably, you know.
Well, I'm just discussing. I'm just saying what I have at the table first.
Well, I'm just saying, and then we'll, what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. All right. If we were to discuss and rate this one from Abyssal Brothers, the Reciprocal.
Because Dave insists.
Because Dave insists. What do you guys think of it, besides it being like really juicy?
I like it. It's a hazy IPA, but it's not overpowerful or overpowering on your palate. It actually cleans off, gets a little crisp and clears out, and there's actually bitterness there, which is what I love.
I like that. That's the best part about the beer.
Yeah, how's that even a thing?
It happens occasionally.
Let's get back to the Alchemist. You know, they're the ones who I think introduced hazy but bitter still. Yeah.
Sean loves hazy boys.
Totally loves them.
Yeah, and that's why I liked and enjoyed this one so much, is that it wasn't too over the top. Yeah. Cool.
I only enjoy my hazy boys intense.
Intense hazy boys.
Intentionally intense.
Banned once again.
Sweet. Okay.
Banned once again.
So the Reciprocal double dry hopped IPA from Abyssal Brothers. We are going to rate a 4. You're cute. Okay. Next is this like hidden treasure in Maryland that I was so jazzed about. And
Washington, D.C.?
Did you get jazz hands?
I did have jazz hands. And good old boy Kendall, you were on this episode, weren't you?
I was.
Okay. So Totes My Oats from Crooked Crab.
That's delicious.
It's an oatmeal stout. Now, okay, you're going to say to me, well, Julia, it's just an oatmeal stout.
Hey, Julia, this is just an oatmeal stout.
But it's a friggin' delicious oatmeal stout.
Darn. Hey, this is a delicious oatmeal stout.
Yeah, darn near perfect.
It's scrumptulescent, actually.
Well, and to me, this just like beckons back to the whole like the Pilsners and all these like styles that have been missed for a while.
Oh,
it touches me in all my special places.
No, but they.
He is on fire today.
Yeah,
he is.
He's on triple secret
around for the 11 o'clock show,
triple
folks.
Triple secret probation.
It's a little blue. Wow.
But when was the last time you had a really good oatmeal stout?
I love a great oatmeal stout. I feel like just the creaminess, like, it, I mean, we're used to the traditional, but nobody's making them anymore.
It's like maybe Samuel Smith's is like one of the better.
Like stout. A reference standard.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I feel like they're just getting started. Yeah. Like, I know they're a newer kind of
brewery.
Yeah.
Maybe. They're trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll stick the landing one of these days.
Yeah.
But this is delightful. I mean, this is just so lovely. Thank you for bringing this.
This brewery makes so many good beers.
Oh my gosh.
So good.
Stupid. Yeah. Like, I think everything, well, and I'm saying everything because it was in a random, like, Maryland hall. But I happen to have 3 of these beers because, I'm not going to lie, it was the kind of the can art that kind of drew me in. But then the guy at the store said, oh, yeah, these guys are up and coming, and I actually like them. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Crooked Crab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made a really good Pilsner.
Solid beers. But yeah. I think what you're saying about this one is absolutely right. I don't think I've had an oatmeal stout in years. I feel like I just haven't seen them. People aren't brewing them. And I remember why I love them so much. It's a beautiful style.
It's like a
great
forgotten
presentation
style.
Because
everybody wants to make a
roasty, creamy, still just, ugh.
Well, right. When people
lactose infused.
Yeah, when people make a stout now.
Cereal and cookies.
Yeah. They want to make an imperial barrel-aged stout that's like
full 17%.
Of maple syrup. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
That's right.
Well, no. I mean, and I think we've had so much.
You save your oatmeal for breakfast.
Excessive flavor, you know, for the past couple years. Yeah. Be it like excessively soured or kettle soured or lactose laden. Let's
get back to the beer.
Yeah. That.
Thank you, seriously, for bringing this in, because I used to love oatmeal stouts and it's not even a thing anymore.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yes.
It's a shame.
So
this is delightful.
You've touched Sparky in his special places.
Warmed his cockles.
It was intense.
Yes.
Wow.
Bag
okay.
check.
What would you guys yep. like to rate the Totesma Oats?
Yeah,
well, oh, we're going five. Okay. God, that was long.
It was.
That's going to do it for a really great episode. And the end of season 10.
Wow. A great season. Wow. We really appreciate you guys.
Still can't get over.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's hard to believe. Yeah.
Yes, yes, seasons. Yes. Cheers to all of us for making it through another trip around the sun.
Cheers.
And
rest in peace, good old boy Caper
yes.
Ted.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
We miss you, man.
We're going to miss you every time we record. Yes. And every day. Well, okay. Good old boy Kendall, thanks for being here today and sharing your beer.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Bye, June. We miss you. You should come visit us. Good old boy Sparky.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to the 20th episode. 20th year episode.
20th episode, yeah.
Good old boy Sean.
Great to be here as always, and always good to share good beer.
Good old boy Dave.
Thanks, guys. Here's to 10 more good years.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chugging, and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.